Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 to 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 to 7. The title is The Great Light of the Heavens Has Shown Us. The Great Light of the Heavens Has Shown Us. I'd like to read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 to 7. The people who walk in the darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the dark land, the light will shine on them. Thou shalt multiply the nation, thou shalt increase their greatness. They will be great in thy presence as with the greatness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou shalt break the yoke of their burdens and the staff on their shoulders, the load of their oppressor as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and the crook rolled in blood will be for the burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from them on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. This is the word of God. Every year at the Christmas times, more than those who truly believed in God, the people of the world who do not know Jesus Christ are at the forefront of the Christmas sale, covering the exterior walls of the building with large LED screens and putting on a show of colorful lights to entice peoples. Worldly excitement and atmosphere are taking over the world rather than a liberant heart for the fact that Jesus, who is truly God, took on human body and bore all our sins for us. Therefore, why we put the name of Jesus Christ at the forefront, there are those who instead turn it into a source of their own pleasure, bearing the Emmanuel who came to save us as if he were a distant legend. We must become aware of the ways of this world. Amen. This Christmas, it should not be a time for excitement and indulgence in the worldly pleasures. Rather, as those who have become children of God through faith in Jesus, we should no longer remain as children but grow into mature sons. Just as we reflect on the Father who has nurtured us, we should now possess a mature faith that allows us to understand the heartbreaking and profound sorrow of God, who had no choice but to send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be born as a human. This is the true meaning of Christmas that we must embrace. Christmas should fundamentally be about worshiping the baby Jesus. By receiving Jesus Christ as the Messiah, we celebrate the birth of God who came in human form. Through this, the birth of Emmanuel, God dwelling within our heart, must become a reality for us. There will be no more shame and suffering than that God became man. Apostle Paul in the scripture is Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 to 8. He explained the view of the God. Let's look at the Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Who, although he exists in the form of God, did not regard equality with God or things to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Consider this. If someone, in order to save a cockroach that we despise, become a cockroach themselves and crawled among the insect, how astonishing would that be? If in a family, one person become a bug to save the bugs, how would that situation differ from the sorrow of a funeral? To this day, have we not celebrated Christmas with a feast? Certainly, from our point of view, it is a joyous occasion. But from God the Father's point of view, it is a sorrow rather than a joy. For the God who transcends time and space has given himself for us and has come down to be subject to them. Not only was he despised and rejected of all men for our sins when he came to earth, but we too regard him as a chastisement from God. Let's look at today's scriptures. No, actually, the Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 to 4. I let it read. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and he did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This Emmanuel refers to Jesus, who is God existing with the Father from eternity past, coming down to this simple world to be with us. Therefore, the birth of Jesus in the manger, as we traditionally think of it, is not the beginning of his life. This is because he has existed with God from before all time. For him, Christmas cannot be his birthday. Amen. This, what a scripture is a testimony about this. Please write down the scriptures. Please write down the 1 Peter chapter 1:20. 1 Peter chapter 1:20. And John chapter 1 verse 1, John chapter 1 verse 1, and John 17 verse 24, John 17 verse 24, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, and Ephesians chapter 3 verse 11, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 11. I like to read only the 1 Peter chapter 1:20, but very, very clear. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but as has appeared in these last time for the sake of you. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Amen. Therefore, it is not his birthday, but rather the moment when God is in heaven in order to be with humanity, to come fresh and become incarnate. This is the incarnation, not simply a birth. Indeed, if we do not realize the reason why the Most High God took on fresh and came to living among us on this lowly earth, we cannot realize the true meaning of Christmas, nor can we make its excitement our excitement. What a tremendous gift God has given us in the form of a baby so that the world can live in joy and freedom in the light of day. Since today, text says that the baby has been born to us, each and every member of the Lutheran Church should be able to give birth to and receive the baby Jesus in their heart. There is no one who lives a more blessed life than the person who, in the worst of time, carries the best of visions. Amen. There is no greater happiness than that of the person who, in the deepest darkness, sees the bright light of the glory, works in that light, and bears witness to it. Amen. I pray that you receive the message being given to you today as a gift from God with faith. The first, the people of darkness have given a great light as a gift. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who work in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. The phrase, the working in the darkness here on the surface, refers to the frequent invasion and the suffering caused by foreign nations. On a deeper level, it speaks to the consequence of sin, the curse of death, and the eternal condition of being under its power. It refers to living as a slaves to Satan, following his way and living in rebellion against God, living as a children of wrath, as those who have walked in opposition to God and his ways. We can find clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2 to 3. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is not now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Darkness in this context literally refers to a pitch black darkness where there is not light at all. Spiritually, it represents the land overshadowed by death, synonym for hell. The realm of the curse, a place of despair and suffering. Yet into this very darkness, the great light shines, Jesus Christ, the true light, who came a child as a son. Through his coming, let's look at Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. I'd like to read, and please write one more verse, John chapter 1, verse 9. John chapter 1, verse 9. I'd like to read Isaiah 60, verse 19. No longer will you have the sun for the light by day, nor the brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light and your God for your glory. Amen. That is Jesus Christ, right? Let's look at the John chapter 1, verse 9. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. That is Jesus. This region of sufferings paradoxically becomes the first to receive the blessing of the gospel. Therefore, this great light is the hope of the human world. This light is the light of the life that shines in the souls of men darkened by sin. In the John chapter 1, verse 4, John the Baptist John talked to us. In him was life, the Jesus, and the life was the light of man. Amen. This light is the light that exposes sin and death for what they are, so that those who did evil hated the light and loved the darkness more. But those who lived according to the truth show that their deeds were in God. In the John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21, is clearly talked to us. I like to read from the 20th and 21. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practice the truth come to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been loved in God. Amen. The second one is the gift of great joy. The gift of great joy. Let's look at the Isaiah chapter 4, chapter 9, verse 3, today's scripture. Thou shalt multiply the nation, thou shalt increase their greatness, they will be great in thy presence, as with the greatness of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. So I pray then in the name of the Lord that you may receive all the gifts that add great joy. What kind of joy is this? Small number one, the increase their greatness, for you have created this nation and made it enjoyable. Although those who live in the despair of the darkness, when they come to the light, Jesus, the number of believers being saved continues to increase. As a result, in the last day, the joy grows even more through the prosperity of spiritual Israel, the church, and the fullness of the Gentiles being added. And small number two, the joy of the harvest. The joy of the harvest. Just as a farmer who sows seeds in the weeping leaves a harvest of joy, so the coming of Jesus is the act of gathering the grain into the master's fields. So he coming is a last day in the, actually the, even there is a 2,000 years ago, but is a, he did not finish, but he'll come again. So for this, let's look at the Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but his will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I'd like to give you another one. Psalm 126, verse 6. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. The act of calling those chosen before the foundation of the world to come to Jesus Christ is the work of the harvest. Amen. And small number three, the joy of taking the spoil, like the joy of dividing the spoil. This signifies the joy of the victor. The spoils of war, the plunder, are the reward, honor, and the medal of the conquerors. The coming of Jesus Christ is a search for lost sinners that like running into enemy territory, defeating the enemy, and finding his treasures. So you look at the Luke chapter 19, verse 19 to 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. This is the joy of liberating us from the power of Satan. So is the Apostle Paul is described this in the Acts chapter 26, verse 18, and the Romans chapter 8, verse 2. I'd like to read Acts chapter 26, verse 18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to the light and from the dominion of Satan to God. Hallelujah. In order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Let's look at the Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Amen. And we have another, the joy. Let's look at small number 4, joy in the presence of the Lord. Joy in the presence of the Lord. This is not referring the worldly carnal pleasure, but to the joy of life, the joy of the Spirit, the joy of finding the lost tribes, which is the joy of thanking God of His favor. Amen. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. Amen. Okay. So, and also is being number three is a freedom and liberty. Freedom and liberty. The Jesus brings the freedom and liberty. Let's look at the Isaiah chapter 9, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 4. For thou shalt break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the load of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. This refers to the political freedom that the Jew at the time would experience by escaping the invasion of Assyria. However, on a deeper and more certain level, what God is truly trying to tell us is the salvation of Jesus Christ who brings freedom and liberation from the yoke of sins. Freedom from sin and liberation from death is indeed what Jesus Christ meant when he came into the world, suffered on the cross for our sins, died and was buried in the tomb, rose again on the third day, witnessed for 40 days, ascended to heaven, sent to Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and established the church as promised. Amen. Yeah, it's God already what when he first he came to the baby, God already what prophesied. Let's look at the Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19, and Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. I'd like to read Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19. 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable years of the Lord. Amen. Dear members of the Lord First Church, the great light, the great joy, the great freedom and liberty that we have received and are enjoying today is a gift from God, who so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. This gift is not made of silver or gold, nor can it lost or corrupt. It is an eternal gift given to God's children. Hallelujah. May we, with faith, treasure this gift with all our lives and serve faithfully for the will of our Heavenly Father. Amen. I pray that you and I may truly believe that we are the ones who have received blessing of the Lord Emmanuel. Amen.